We commence today with a discussion on the tafsir of verse 187. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. They ask you regarding qiyamah, when will it occur? قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Say, the knowledge of this is with my Rabb. لَا يُجَلِّيهَا لِوَقْتِهَا إِلَّا هُ. Only He will manifest it on its time. ثَقُلَتْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. It will be weighty on the heavens and the earth. لَا تَأْتِيكُمْ إِلَّا بَغْتَ. And it will appear suddenly. يَسْأَلُونَكَ كَأَنَّكَ حَفِيٌّ عَنْهَا. They ask you as if you have perfect knowledge on it. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Say, the knowledge of this is only with Allah. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But most people do not know. Now, the mushrikeen, the polytheists, they used to bother the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by constantly asking him questions which they thought would entrap him, which would make it difficult for him to answer. And they would raise, you know, unnecessary objections time and again. So firstly, they would contest the whole concept of life after death. They would say, you know, when a person dies and you bury his body in the grave, in the soil, the body decomposes, all that's left is bones. Where is this whole concept of life after death? Where is this whole concept where the world will come to an end and everyone will be resurrected? So their idea, or the idea behind the objection, was that, look, if this qiyamah is going to take place, then tell us when it's going to take place. And if you cannot tell us when it's going to take place, if it hasn't taken place yet, that means it's not going to take place. But obviously there's a problem with that kind of logic, because the presumption is absurd, since the delay of an event does not indicate that it will never occur. The fact that qiyamah has not occurred up to now, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or no other human or creation of Allah, has been given absolute knowledge with regards to qiyamah as to when it will take place, that does not mean that it won't take place. Yes, only Allah knows. إِلَيْهِ يُرَدُّ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in the opening verse of the 25th juz that the knowledge of exactly when qiyamah will take place is known only to Allah. What the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were taught about is the signs of qiyamah. That's why in that famous hadith of Jibreel, when Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam came and he asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasalam, مَتَ السَّاعَةِ, when is qiyamah? And the Nabi of Allah said, مَا الْمَسْؤُولُ عَنْهَا بِأَعْلَمَ مِنَ السَّائِلِ. That the one asking the question doesn't have knowledge about it more than the one being questioned. Meaning, oh Jibreel, you and I are both as ignorant on this issue. We are both in the dark because Allah has not given this knowledge to anyone from His creation. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked that question because he wanted to focus on the next question in reality. That what are the signs of Qiyamah? So the signs of Qiyamah, and then we know the scholars have broken them down into major signs and minor signs. The minor signs are already prevalent. The major signs, like the emergence of the Dab and those kind of signs, will take place much closer to Qiyamah. So, in a way, they try to object. They try to say, well, if you're a Nabi, how come you don't know when Qiyamah is taking place? But the ulama have given answers that it's not necessary for a Nabi to know everything. The responsibility and the role of a Nabi is to bring the message of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to you. So the Nabi is informing you that Qiyamah will take place. It will take place. And he's informing you that these are the signs and that you need to be prepared for Qiyamah. And that even if you are not alive at the time when Qiyamah comes, إِذَا مَاتَ الرَّجُلُ قَامَتْ قِيَامَتُهُ. That when you die, your Qiyamah starts, because you cannot do any good. That will be of assistance to you between that period and Qiyamah. And then you will be resurrected in the condition that you had left this world. And yes, but what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did teach us was that Qiyamah will take place suddenly, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions, لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. That, listen, you know, like in the opening verses of Surah Nahl, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, أتى أمر الله فلا تستعجلوه. That you want it to come quickly. Do you know actually what you're asking for? ثقلت في السماوات والأرض. It will be weighty on the heavens and the earth. Everything will come crumbling down. Everything in existence will cease to exist. And لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. It will appear suddenly. Suddenly it will appear. So suddenly that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a man will have unfolded a piece of material to sell to another and then would not have folded it up again, nor completed the transaction, when they will be overtaken by Qiyamah. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that a person will have milked his camel, but will not have found the opportunity to drink the milk when Qiyamah will take place. Its advent will be so sudden that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam added that a person will be busy plastering a drinking place that he made for his animals, and he will not even get the opportunity to let his animals drink from it when Qiyamah will strike. It will arrive so suddenly that a person will lift a morsel to his mouth, according to a narration in Bukhari, and not be able to eat it when Qiyamah will overtake him. So, for us, the concern should be, what have we prepared for it? You know, we like to hear discussions about the major signs of Qiyamah. Let there be a poster that goes up and says, there's going to be a talk about Dajjal, or there's going to be a talk about, you know, the signs of Qiyamah and that kind of thing. Hey, people just have a deep interest. And I suppose in a way it's good, because you need to educate yourself about these things. But then also, you know, people get carried away sometimes with stories and theories that are not so authentic. And, you know, who is Dajjal and where will he come from? And was there one eye baby born there or born here? And, you know, the Illuminati and the Rockefeller and Rothschild and who and Hindu and everything just goes. You know, it's like we don't have issues of greater priority in our lives, that we just need to do all of these speculation. When will Imam Mahdi come? It was supposed to be in 2004, wasn't it? And then 2004 has long come and gone, or 2002, and, you know, going into all interpretations which are speculative, to be honest. It makes for a very interesting discourse. It draws in the crowds, it gains personalities, popularity. But in reality, the whole crux of Qiyamah is learn the lessons so that you do not become the lesson. Learn the lessons so that you do not become the lesson. If one of the signs of Qiyamah is that you will disrespect your elders and your parents, do not become the lesson. Do not fall prey into that. If one of the signs of Qiyamah is that nakedness will become prevalent, it's more important for you not to become the lesson than to worry about, you know, when do we estimate Qiyamah will take place? When is Dajjal going to come? What's happening in the Middle East? Black flag here, this destination there. Academic discussion on its place, but, you know, why do we incline to these discussions? We incline to these discussions more so, one gets the impression, Wallahu A'lam, is because we like the speculation that goes with it. So, you know, the fact that we are disobedient to Allah, and that's one of the signs of Qiyamah, that doesn't perturb us, that doesn't bother us. And any lecture in that regard will not draw the crowd. But what Dajjal will come and do and say and how and where, that we have a great interest in. Even beyond what has just been mentioned in the hadith. And the more there is speculation, the greater the attraction. The more you can sensationalize it, the more people seem to be inclined towards it. But the Prophet ﷺ is indicating to us very regularly in the different hadith that prepare for it. Prepare for it. That's more important. Because when it comes, it's going to catch the people by surprise, whoever is there, as has been mentioned in these various narrations which I have shared with you. And your death also comes to you very suddenly. It takes you by surprise. So when you die, then your Qiyamah has started. Be ready. Prepare yourself to meet your Allah. Prepare yourself to meet your Allah. Understand that these are the things that will become prevalent prior to Qiyamah. Do not fall into those temptations. Do not become those temptations. Do not become those lessons. That is important for us. قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. The knowledge of it is only with Allah. Don't over-speculate when it comes to these issues. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala says, but most people do not know. You know, the one sentence here, يَسْأَلُونَكَ كَأَنَّكَ حَفِيٌّ عَنْهَا. They ask you as if you have perfect knowledge of it. You know, the way they question you, O my Nabi, about the Qiyamah and when Qiyamah will take place, as if you know everything. But hasn't Allah said already that this knowledge rests exclusively with Him? And these days also the way the ulama are questioned, and the way the ulama are expected to speak about how this will happen there and that will happen there, and how the two will just click together, and then it will set in place a process of events that will lead to Imam Mahdi emerging, and then we start getting into dates, and we start linking in different speculative, stretched interpretations as to who will come and emerge where, and what occurred to me in terms of how I analyze this. Well, why do we need to go down that route? Yes, we must know. We must know what is mentioned in the ahadith and what has been mentioned in the teachings of the scholars. We must know the history. We must know what will happen at the time and have knowledge of it. But in terms of preparation, we need to prepare ourselves so that when it comes, it's ready. Not speculate and try and go so deep into things where there's actually no authenticity at those levels of depths of interpretation. I remember there was one scholar who came from Pakistan. I think it was Maulana Tanweer Saab, if I'm not mistaken. And at that time, the whole Imam Mahdi debate was going on. And, you know, will it be 2002 and will it be 2004? And he made a very, important point. He said, you know, all this is doing is it's creating defeatism within the Ummah. People are not willing to change themselves. They're not willing to make an effort to change the ummah. All they want to do is sit back and say, yes, yes, Imam Mahdi is coming. We're going to wait for Imam Mahdi. When he comes and he will solve all the problems. So it's making you it's making you lethargic. It's creating for you a justification and an excuse not to get your hands dirty, not to get involved, and not to try your level best against a very difficult tide. I mean, we don't live in easy times. We don't live in the best of times. There's a lot of effort that needs to be made, but that effort needs to be made. We should not be speculating to the point of where we look for convenient scapegoats that blame it all on this particular sect or blame it all on this particular group. Every problem that happened in the ummah is their fault. You know, ideologically, obviously, the differences are stark and are understood, and the machinations of certain deviant sects are well established. We must not be naive to them. We mustn't go to the other extreme. But then, you know, blaming sects and blaming others and hoping for saviors to come, that cannot be the sum total of our approach to the problems of the ummah. It cannot be. You cannot always just blame everyone else and just wait for someone else to come and do things. That's not the system of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Understand everything in its context. Understand what you will be able to achieve before the emergence of Imam Mahdi, before the coming of Isa alayhi salam and the slaying of Dajjal, and work towards that. And when it happens, it happens. But you need to be prepared, right? We know that when Dajjal comes, who he will be able to tempt and who he won't be able to tempt. So do we actually work on ensuring that we are not amongst those who will be tempted? No, that we don't want to do, but we want to speculate a lot about the details with regards to Dajjal, where there's no room for any authenticity when it comes to those speculations. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant us the understanding. It's now 14 minutes to 8.